mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all.
A little over a week away from the NFL draft being in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Man, the more people I talk to, the more excitement I hear building around the state, around the country. Got people popping in from all over the place to go to the draft. I think I told you guys several weeks ago that my daughter's teacher was like, I'm taking off. She's like, taking off work. We're going up to the draft. We're taking it all in. And so there's a lot of people who are super pumped about the event. What will the Green Bay Packers do? Packers Wire put out an article, Zach Cruz, categorizing the Packers' roster needs entering the 2025 NFL draft. And I got to be honest, some of these categories are interesting. Need rookie contributors, need developmental players. Well, apparently that list was longer than I anticipated, but I'm still scrolling down to the next one. Need position depth slash competition. Of those things, and then they have no clear need. These are positions where they don't have an obvious short or long-term need. Chewy, for clarification's sake, the no clear need list includes safety and running back for your Green Bay Packers, as well as kicker and punter. You agree with that? Is there anything else that should be on that list?
Quarterback.
Okay. You're good with Love and Willis?
Yeah. I thought Willis did excellent last year. Is he a free agent after this year?
He will be a free agent after this year.
Yeah, so then maybe you pick something up in the fifth, sixth round?
Yeah, something like that.
Now, I want to be clear on this. I don't love needing rookie contributors anywhere. I don't love that you're relying on somebody who is just setting foot in the league to be a full-time contributor, major contributor. My preference would be to sort of do what Gabe has talked about in the past, which is conveyor belt your way through that thing, to have backfilled at the position so that you have capable but also experienced-ish from a varying stance in each position, and then you can spot start rookies as needed.
But
that's my preference.
Yeah, but that's just not the reality of what the NFL is. Like, every team has places where they need rookie contributors. Even the team that won the Super Bowl last year, the Philadelphia Eagles, had a need at cornerback, shotgun approached it, took a couple guys early who were starters for them on a Super Bowl winning team.
And I think it all worked out really well for them. I just don't know that every team is going to have that luxury of having the need, needing them to play meaningful minutes, and then also nailing the draft picks. I think it's more of a crapshoot.
Correct. But I mean, every team has a place on their roster where they need rookie contributors. Every team does.
Isn't that receiver specific though? Isn't that what they're really talking about? They need to pick a receiver early, and he's got to contribute.
Yes.
You got no Christian Watson to start off the season. I know you picked up Hardman, but it wasn't a strength last year. You know? So I think that's what they're saying is, yes, you need a receiver, and you need a receiver that can catch 60 balls this year.
And so this article does have wide receiver as need rookie contributor. Again, these are positions where the Packers likely need a rookie to play right away. But you didn't need to be in this position. You could have gone out and gotten a veteran wide receiver, Devontae Adams specifically, so that you weren't relying on a rookie to go out there and make an impact. Look, we all thought that Jaden Reed, when he set foot on the field, had an immediate impact. But it's like anything else. The league adjusts. The league figures out what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and wants to exploit those weaknesses. And I think we have talked about it on this program. That is some of what contributed to Jaden Reed's struggles last season. And again, was he still really, really good? I think he was. But he obviously had limitations that the league was trying to take advantage of. So again, you didn't have to be in this position with wide receiver as a position of immediate need with a rookie, Gabe. That's my only feedback on, yes, they obviously need somebody now because of the injury to Christian Watson and because the way that the role is where you just obviously need multiple guys on the field at the same time. But you didn't have to rely on a rookie if you had gone a different way in free agency.
Yeah, you could have gotten one of the veterans that were out there, certainly. But they still need, I mean, even if they go out and get Devontae Adams, I would have liked a receiver early. Because I guess I'm not with you. I think Jaden Reed's fine. I mean, what'd you saw the list. What was he, ranked the 46th best receiver?
45th. Yeah, 45th.
Yeah, that's... That ain't good enough.
It puts him at a mid two, but I think they really like him in the slot. I think they like him more as a Randall Cobb than a Jordy Nelson. I know he's still young. He's got 2 years, but this year will be very, very instrumental in what they're going to do with him in the future.
But to that point, and we have talked about this a lot, Joshy, a lot of the top tier wide receivers are also slot receivers or have also spent significant time as slot receivers. I mean, I know the book on Emeka Ebuka is that he could also play outside, right?
Yeah, those are the best receivers, the ones that you can just move around and are going to be chess pieces.
But I believe most of his time was spent in the slot at Ohio State as well.
Predominantly there. Some of that is just simply based on Ohio State bringing in super athletes at wide receiver all over the field. He is capable, and his testing, despite having a little disappointing of a 40, did prove him to be a guy that should have the athleticism to function outside.
It's just going to be interesting to see. I mean, we all assume that Dobbs is going to be the Z.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be X? I mean, can Reed play X? It's kind of a different, because you're always away from strength. Most times you're away from strength because the tight end is paired with Z.
Well, that's where I think, again, going back to that list, Joshy, there are only a few guys at the top tier of those receivers who are primarily X receivers with their speed and their ability to go vertical down the field. We've talked about McMillan, the kid from Ohio State. Which one?
Iowa State?
Iowa.
Are you saying, yeah, Jaden Higgins would be an X.
Yes.
Alec Iomanner. The kid from Stanford would also be viewed as an X, and then Trey Harris as well. If you go deeper, Savion Williams, but it's kind of hard to project exactly what that kid's going to be. And then the next one would be Dante Thornton, which would be later, like after pick 100.
So that's what I'm saying, Chu. Like, if you're looking for an X-specific guy, it even shrinks the list even more. A lot of the names that you're seeing at the top of the list, I think they have theoretically that position on the roster currently. It would be figuring out how to marry them with what they have. So beyond wide receiver, they've got need developmental players. They've got defensive end and defensive tackle, which I think we all agree. They need players, period, at those positions. And again, my preference would have been to address that in free agency, but since they didn't, here we are, Gabe.
Yeah, but also I don't know what was necessarily even out there in free agency at those positions. Wasn't a ton that you could do to realistically upgrade. But I honestly would throw defensive end past need developmental players. I think you need a rookie contributor. You need somebody who's going to be able to step in and play some pretty significant snaps.
Which, does that happen as rookies, though? I know the kid from the Texans, the rookie, I think he won Rookie of the Year.
Oh, Will Anderson, a couple years ago? Again, a lot of those top 10 picks, Will Chu, yes. Obviously, this year, that guy is Abdul Carter out of Penn State. But, I mean, even if it's just a rotational player, like, they need somebody who's going to step in. I'm not saying they're going to draft somebody in the first two rounds that's going
to
step in and have 10 sacks.
Well, they
but
need
whoever
to
that player
that
is,
too, Gabe.
But whoever that is, they need at least to be playing 50% of the snaps at defensive end.
And they need to backfill not tackle as well as DN, because there might be some changes next year if they have another subpar year. There could be three starters that aren't going to be starters the following year.
Chu, I can't imagine they get, even if they have subpar seasons, they're not going to get rid of everyone because they just can't. Because they need bodies, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like just from a sheer like roster numbers standpoint. Even if all the guys, Kenny Clark, Lucas Van Ness, Rashawn Gary, underperform, you just have to have some of those guys around because you're not going to be able to fill everything this draft.
Any chance the Packers still try to trade for Trey Hendrickson, or is that pretty much off the table now? Because now you're seeing reports that he could be trade bait during the draft.
How old is he?
Is he 30? Is that the trick question?
That would be, Can't imagine Goody's going to be giving up a high draft pick to pay somebody who's 30.
What would he take? First and a second?
Probably less than that based on the amount of money he is seeking.
Okay.
Because if you come in and say, I want to be a top three paid guy, no team's going to go, okay, first and second round pick two.
And the money,
That's it. Just especially at that age. If he was 24, five, then people are lining up to do that. But
can I ask you guys a question though about that position specifically? Doesn't it take a few years in the league before you become like a prolific, like game changer at that position?
Depends. Some guys develop, like Hendrickson certainly, but like Chewy pointed out, like Will Anderson's a game wrecker. TJ Watt came in, was pretty good from the jump. Myles Garrett, pretty good from the jump. A lot of these guys have been really good pass rushers from day one being in the league.
Even some of those high picks don't fully develop because they are such athletic and that's all they worked on, and that doesn't work in the NFL. Some of those guys take a couple years to fully see what it is, but I think plenty of guys do contribute, and even through the first two rounds, you'll see you'll see guys that end up just because some people haven't figured out. It's just they're further along in their development process.
I'm just wondering if that's a position where you can say we can make an exception to our quote-unquote age 30 rule because we have seen it takes a little bit longer at that position for guys to really pop. Again, I understand all the things you're saying. There are always going to be guys who right away have success. I just didn't know what the trend was.
Yeah, I mean, Gabe and I talked about Trey Hendrickson being, despite his age being a game that age as well, he's not super bendy. It's a lot of effort and speed to power, which even if he loses a little speed as he ages, he's still going to be pretty effective because he is so good at the position.
What they need to find is a KGB or an Aaron Kampman.
But the problem is
around picks that you can develop and turn into.
Yeah, I was about to say the problem with those guys, Chew.
Yeah,
it took time to develop.
It's going to take time for them to develop.
Because I think Camp probably had his first double-digit sack season in year three or four.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't know if that makes you feel better about Lucas Van Ness or worse about him because Campman was a fourth round pick and Van Ness was, you know, top 15. So
yeah, I just don't see a lot of wiggle in him. And I don't know how you get wiggle. You either have wiggle or you don't have wiggle.
Let me throw this out there. Ryan from Iguanago wiggle, says wiggle, there is wiggle, a wiggle. New
I didn't have wiggle. I'm going to throw that out there right now there too, in case you guys were wondering.
Get ahead of the lack of wiggle accusations.
I'm still getting over here going wiggle, wiggle, wiggle like it's the wobble, wobble, wobble. New report is Packers trade for TJ Watt. So I did a little digging just in the last couple of minutes here. Yeah, he threw up a peace sign.
Deuces.
While walking off the field on his Instagram story. He has 1 year left on his contract. And some Steelers beat reporters are saying, keep an eye on the Watt situation in Pittsburgh. After talking to people, I'd keep an eye on this situation moving forward. It doesn't appear that the picture he posted was just by chance.
Here's the problem with that, Jen.
30 in trade.
How old is TJ Watt?
He's 30.
He's 30 years old. I did not know this was going to be a part of today. I thought this is not like I'm at the carnival. And it's like, you know, can you guess the age within 4 years to win the stuffed animal?
I don't have a stuffed animal for you. I'm sorry. I can maybe give you a pen.
If I were to guess, he's doing the things that the thing that the Watt brothers all say they don't do. And that's trying to get more guaranteed money on their contract and extend their life where they are, if I were to guess. If we all remember him famously, I just want to get back to working out, despite him doing a hold-in and not participating.
My hamstring, it's a little tight. Yeah. I don't know if I can practice today, guys. Oh, some new money just came in? Guess what?
Did you know that feeling $100 better? Million dollars heals hamstrings?
heal a lot more than that.
Is that all it takes? What would a package even look like for a TJ Watt?
I don't even know enough about his contract.
Yeah.
At 30, it's still a first.
It feels like a little bit more than a
It's not going to happen because, and his brother teased this, might have been on McAfee, that something went awry. Remember the Packers were trying to land, or they assumed they were trying to land JJ? And he said something went down where he, you don't remember this?
I don't.
You're giving us so many details.
He didn't fill in the blanks. He's just like, it was more of like Green Bay disrespected me before he went to the Cardinals.
Before he went to the Cardinals?
I'm sure they offered him probably the right amount of money because if we remember his time there and the other teams overpaid for him. So he felt it was disrespectful despite him not having much of a career with the Cardinals.
See, Gabe's about to be very, very excited. Like, how did you remember that? Because you're Googling it right now.
I am Googling it right now.
And what's it say?
Something sometimes don't materialize. Sometimes things don't happen in the way that fairy tales are supposed to happen.
I don't know if I can hit the choose right on this one.
That was with Adam Schein.
Seems a bit vague.
No, I'm right. I know I'm right. I know when I'm right. And I'm right. So you can trust me.
That famous last words.
You know who you can't trust? Somebody who says, yeah, you can trust me.
I'm right. I know it. Can't prove it, but I know it.
You know what, though? That is an absolute. If someone says to you, you can trust me.
Nope.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
Kiss of death. For whatever relationship that's in. For your next night out, revel in the fusion and artistry and flavor with sushi at St. Kate. They're offering guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, now introduces the addition of an exciting new sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, and expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate. Learn more at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj? Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
As a self-described gambling aficionado, this next story really gets my goat.
That's a nice way to describe it for you. Aficionado.
You like that better than degenerate?
I mean, it sounds nicer. Definitely would look better on a resume.
So I Joshy, how should I explain this? The
spouse of a now deceased man.
Again, yeah, you've seen where, yes, exactly. The spouse of a now deceased person got $100,000 worth of future bets on the Celtics to win the East and win the NBA title canceled. This was in Massachusetts. So the gentleman had placed a sizable wagers on the Celtics
bets
to win the East and also the NBA title, which I got to be honest with you, doesn't sound like that bad of a bet. Especially the East. The Celtics to win the East? I don't know what the payout would have been for that exclusively. Maybe she had to have them all voided. She couldn't pick and choose. Like, well, I feel pretty confident about the Celtics winning the East, but I'm not so sure about them winning the whole dang thing. Can we just void the whole dang thing?
Nah, this is going to be this is a one or zero situation.
So they voided $100,000 worth of futures bets. And I told Joshy, like, I'm crying in my cereal over here because I feel like at least some of those were going to pay out. I don't know what they were going to pay out to, but they were going to pay out something.
But they're three down in the East to the Cavs. I might have canceled it as well.
So these bets were for them to win the Eastern Conference Finals. It's not just the regular season seeding.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yes, they would have to go through the playoffs to win that. And if you were placing these bets earlier in the year, especially as the Cavs kind of looked to be in, you're getting plus odds on this. So it is more than just your typical minus 110 bet for a lot of these because you have to go through multiple rounds of the playoffs. I don't think, now this might sound crazy, I don't think this woman was particularly interested in gambling after the devastating loss of her partner. Now, it is probably not wise, seeing as you've gone this far, and that team seems to be healthy and likely to get there, but $100,000 when you have to plan a funeral, probably some money you want in your bank account.
Okay, so here's what this
100K
is going
to, 100K.
This is going to be how risk-averse are you? Because you have two choices here. You find out that your spouse, who, again, you're devastated by their... maybe she wasn't, though. If you're betting $100,000 on the Celtics, maybe she's like, good riddance. You know, maybe he had a problem. I don't know. The point is, you got two choices. You either let it ride or you cash it out. Gabe, sounds like you're a cash it out
guy. $100,000. That's a lot of money, Jen. It's a lot of money just to be like, yeah, I'm going to let $100K ride. You're smiling. You bet like 10 and 20 bucks
but
here and there.
It wasn't even her money. Like, well,
what do you mean it wasn't her money? They were married.
I think the law would say it was hers.
Law says 50 grand of that is hers.
I think we need to understand how their finances were working, honestly. I think like we need to know, like, was he bankrupting the household with his betting? You know, like that to me then, you know, pushes me in a different direction.
Here's what I can tell you about that amount that he has is that is not your average gambler. It's not your casual gambler. To be able to put that much money down on a future, a lot of those are limited. And like you wouldn't even be able to do, like you have to have special rights and basically conversations with the book to even wager that amount of money, because especially if you're using the apps, they limit those. Like sometimes it's like $1,000. Some are even less, depending on if that book, for whatever reason, doesn't like you and think you're like working angles or using information. So to me, this is probably a professional gambler. And this person just wanted to be done with it, if I were to. And also, I don't know the rules on once you pass away, if it's on your app and it's to your name.
Yeah.
Like, how do you?
Well, that passes. That clearly passes. Like that asset becomes
right, but
the wife's
asset. How do we know she can get into the account? Like, there's a lot of things like that you have to work around, because if especially in Massachusetts, they are very strict with their gambling regulations.
But like you said, like if there's that much money, like somebody within the Massachusetts area, FanDuel or whoever it was that refunded these bets. Like, clearly knows this guy.
Yes.
You know, like, there had to be some sort of personal comp.
Why would they let her out of the bet?
Well, because I think they looked at it and go, we may have to pay a significant amount of money to this little lady.
It works for the book.
Yeah.
If it was $100,000 on the Wizards, I don't know if they're letting her out of the bet.
Right. They're okay. Like, oh, sorry. No candy.
I'm cashing. I'd take the 100 and gone. See ya.
Yeah. I'm with you. 100 and gone.
It was actually $106,000 $106,000 in future bets on the Boston Celtics to win the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. Wow. They voted unanimously, by the way, 5-0 in favor of the widow and returned all of the money. Something about requirements for the estate, et cetera, et cetera. It's unclear what odds the husband got on the Celtics' future bets. Currently, the team is -130 to win the East and +215 to win back-to-back championships. But to your point, Joshy, the more success that the Cavs have had in the East, that number has likely moved for the Celtics. God, man, I don't know. I would have let it ride. I know,
but they won the championship last year. They're not as hungry.
So you don't is all going to play out within the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going to be great about it is.
Oh, but that's the thing. Like, Kristaps kind of, you know, tweaks a knee. Maybe Drew gets a wrist injury, and suddenly things look a lot less great for you.
Yeah. Do they have to win the Eastern or just make it to the Eastern Conference?
Win the Eastern Conference is, you know, one or a couple of the bets, and then win the NBA Finals. Win the NBA Finals was some of the other bets that he had.
We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. So the situation is that the wife or the widow of a deceased man was refunded the $106,000 that her husband had bet on the Boston Celtics to win the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. They gave her the entire lot back. I'm saying, if she had bet on, I don't know, give me a team, the Bulls. I mean,
Jen, think about $100,000 and what that could do to your house. Some of the upgrades you could make.
I've already made all the upgrades. Yes. We're good now.
Nice vacation.
Once I get the windows taken care of, we are made in the shade. Let us know what you think. If you would want the money back, $106,000 back in your bank account, or if you would let it ride on the Boston Celtics to win the East and win the whole dang thing. Gabe?
If you're familiar with tavern-style pizza here in the state of Wisconsin, that thin, crispy crust, well, now Screamin' Sicilian makes a tavern-style pizza. Stop in and save at Sendix right now, just $5.99 each. Limited time only going on through tomorrow at your local Festival Foods. The tavern-style pizza is everything you've come to expect with Screamin' Sicilian. The great sauce, great cheese, mountains of toppings, delicious all the way around, only on that thin, thin, crispy crust. And right now, they're just $5.99 at your local Sendix through tomorrow. Stop by at Sendix and try Screamin' Sicilian Tavern-style pizza and find out what all this screaming is about.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know how much we love Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin here at ESPN Wisconsin and ESPN Milwaukee. And there's plenty of reason why, with the great people over at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin that are going to make sure they're with you every step of the way. All the different selection that they have and the quality of windows. And right now, you should make Pella your number one pick, because you can take advantage of no interest financing options or free glass upgrades. Their talented designers and installers can match your unique home through seamless customizations. Again, all those options that they have at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Certain restrictions do apply. The deal ends April 30th. So place your free, that's right, free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. What would you do, John Quinones? What would you do if you had, your husband had bet $106,000 on the Boston Celtics to win the East and win the NBA Finals? You have two choices. You can cash it out, get the money back, which is what the woman ended up doing, or you could let it ride. And again, it'll all play out over the next few weeks. It's exciting. The Bucks have a week off, obviously, because they don't have to be in the play-in tournament, but that's going on this week. And then they will play the Pacers yet again in the NBA playoffs. I want to talk a little bit about what we saw happen this weekend in college football. Fortunately, not a situation that the Badgers find themselves in, but were you watching what happened at Tennessee this weekend? Tennessee has this quarterback, Nico Iamaleava. You got to say it fast.
I love how you closed your eyes to, like,
read it.
It's just kind of close your eyes and hope you get it right. Like, here we go. Let's give it a try.
Just pray. Just run it out there. And hopefully, and you know me with names, not the best ever. But he was going to sit out. He was sort of doing this thing where he was saying he wasn't going to play for the Tennessee Volunteers. Basically, they were not giving him the NIL money that he requested. And Tennessee did what a lot of programs have not done and said, deuces, peace out. We can find your replacement. Good luck finding a team that will pay you what you're asking. And this, for a lot of people, Chew, is representative of where we are in college football now. The other thing I saw this weekend, and I haven't vetted this out completely, but really, really low numbers at some of the spring games. Like, comparatively to last year and the years previous, where you've gotten, you know, tens of thousands of people filling the stands for these spring games, these inter-squad scrimmages. Very low numbers this past weekend for some of the programs. So people are wondering if that is one of those unintended consequences, residuals of the new landscape of college football. But I digress. When you heard what was going on at Tennessee and that Nico, he hadn't been there for practices, he hadn't been around because he was holding out for more money, and they finally said, nope, that's all we were giving you. We're going in another direction. What was your reaction?
It doesn't bother me. That's what it is right now. That's college football, where they're trending. I don't have a problem with them chasing the money. I have more of a problem with the transfer portal. I think they need to clean that up. You know, one transfer, that's it. Instead of going year in and year in and year in.
Well, the problem with that is, Chewy, like, that just hasn't held up to legal challenges. And this is, to me, this was the next logical step that an athlete was going to take in the professionalization of college athletics. Like, this was the natural progression, right? Now that these kids can get paid, we just had a pretty good year last year. Give me more money. This is year to year. Okay, if you don't, I'll transfer. And that's where the only thing I think they can do here at this point, Chew, is declare, hey, yes, these athletes are indeed employees of the school. And then you can start, okay, now the athletes get a union and you collectively bargain all this stuff the way they do in the pros. Like, that's the only way. Because then it becomes contracts, and then it's not a transfer portal thing where you can just go wherever you want and go to the highest bidder every spring.
Well, and again, guys, it's going to be a fit thing too, Chew, right? It's not just like, you can look at the landscape and say, ah, this kid from Tulane got 2 years, $8 million to transfer to Duke. Like, that's all well and good. And Nico may be sitting here going, I'm better than that guy. Sure, maybe, but you also have to find a program that is willing to pay you what you think is worth, what you think you're worth, rather. Just because the market dictates that the top quarterbacks are getting X number of money, Duke is in a different situation than Tennessee is. Duke may be more desperate to pop on the college football scene, may be willing to spend more money for that key position. You know what I'm saying? There's all of these things that come into play, and I actually like that Tennessee said, here's what our offer is, here's what we can afford, here's what we're willing to pay for your play at this position, take it or leave it. Instead of them being sort of beholden to these athletes, again, I think they should be paid. I love that they're getting their money. Mm-hmm. But like, there was always going to be a point where a school said, this is our ouch point, you've crossed the ouch point, we're not ouching anymore. Right? Like, so I hope that he finds a landing spot. I don't know that it will be for what he is hoping to receive.
Could he always go back?
Not at this point. Seems like Josh Heupel, their head coach, has said, nope, don't want anything to do with you. See you later, pal.
Would he be a good fit at Wisconsin? See, that's the thing. It's like turned into free agency now. You know,
mm-hmm.
Hey, 100%. you want to make the playoffs and be a top 12 team? You better spend a little money in free agency, otherwise it's not going to happen. A
lot of money.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, he'll wind up somewhere else. I guarantee it. Someone's going to pay him.
Tennessee now has two quarterbacks on its roster and has a commitment from the top-ranked signal caller in 24/7 Sports 2026 recruiting class. Tennessee's an SEC program with a storied history. I don't think they're going to have any trouble recruiting top talent. Do you, Gabe?
No, but it's now, because I think the transfer portal in football opens again here this week or next week. They're going to have to dive into there and hope they can find a quarterback. I mean, their plans now drastically changed. Because with Nico, they would have been a team that you're thinking, okay, they're going to end up in the playoff. Now, they got to find a new quarterback that's going to be able to do that for them.
And then look at this year's draft. There's not a lot of great quarterbacks in it. You know,
no.
I even have questions about the kid from Miami, that's going to go number one overall.
Cam Ward.
So there's, you know, so there's definitely a need in college football for, you know, a quarterback that can play.
Well, and again, most teams wanted to get their quarterback in the last transfer window at the end of the season because you want him there for spring practice. You want him to have those 16 practices to go through the reps and learn the offense, get used to teammates. Instead of now what Tennessee is going to have to do, they've already gone through everything, pick somebody up and hope that they can, you know, get up to speed during camp when it comes around later this summer.
5 years down the road, guys, project this out for me. How is it going to look for Nico Iamaliava? Is he in the NFL? Is he a top quarterback in the draft? Like, 5 years out, what will have happened to him? Or does this sort of thing follow him? Will a team snatch him up? Will he have a top? Will he be a Heisman candidate? Like, what are you projecting the future for Nico Iamaliava given this development right now?
I mean, he'll be. I don't think anybody should hold this against him. We see this all the time in professional sports, and that's what this is. This is professional sports. You get what you can. I mean, we don't hold it against coaches when Lincoln Riley decides to go from Oklahoma to USC in the blink of an eye. Nobody holds that against Lincoln Riley, right? This should not be held against this individual for trying to get whatever they can. I have no problem with it because this is the route that college football has taken themselves in. It's the route that the NCAA has. I don't blame the kid as much as I blame the NCAA for just trying to bury their heads in the sand when this whole thing was initially happening. They just went, figure this all out for yourselves, guys. We have nothing to do with this. And now you can't put toothpaste back in the tube.
Because they could have done it without going to the NIL route. You know, if they said, all right, players, we're going to give you a percentage of the TV revenue, which is what they should have done from the start. And I don't know how they would disperse the money from there.
Oh, yeah, you had to be proactive. But, they had to be proactive. Yeah. And they weren't.
This is the NCAA's fault. Yeah, they don't know how to get out of it.
They weren't even reactive.
They weren't even reactive. Yeah. That's the problem. They weren't proactive. They weren't reactive. They just kind of sat on their hands. And that's how we end up in this spot. For Nico, I think that, I mean, I don't think he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. Probably a mid to late round pick whenever he hits the NFL draft. I don't think he has significant impact in the NFL, but he'll probably get a chance to play at the next level.
Feels a little ungalale.
Ooh-ee-ooh-ah-ah.
Whatever happened. Is he in the... draft this year? Or is he done?
I mean, is he in the draft? I mean, technically, I suppose.
Not far from selling you your used cars.
Problem is, he bounced around so much, he's got no place to go back to.
Yeah, I know. He's been everywhere. Enterprises.
Undrafted free agent?
They'll pick you up.
I think that's... Yeah. I think that's probably what we're looking at, right?
There's indoor football leagues, right?
UFL? Oh, man. I bet he plays in the UFL next spring. He's got UFL written all over him.
It's just he looked so bad the last few times we saw him.
Wasn't it like the last three times we've seen him play somewhere?
Where was his last college? Oregon State?
Florida State.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the last place he went.
Yeah, I watched him play in Ireland. Wasn't any better over there.
Sorry.
That's kind of seems like it might have ruined a nice trip otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Trip was fine. I didn't let it affect it that much. ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is coming to Green Bay on April 23rd. Field Yates, Daniel Dopp, Mike Clay, Liz Loza, and Stefania Bell are doing a live show at the Tundra Trio, and ESPN Wisconsin wants to send you and a friend to Green Bay to see the show happen live. Right now, guys, caller number 3. I assume 3, 4, 5, and 6, something like that, right? No, caller number 3 wins 4 tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football. I wasn't sure if we wanted to give away 4 tickets or wanted to give 4 away to one person.
4 pack.
The way we're doing it is a four pack to one caller. Caller number 3 right now, 800-990-3776. You'll get to see the show up close, meet all the hosts, get complimentary food and drinks. Fantasy Focus Football podcast merch. That's caller 3 right now, 800-990-3776. Visit ESPNWisconsinContest.com for full details.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, you already know what I'm going to say. You know already where I'm going to send you. It is the Jewelry Center, best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. And the reason? The people, the helpful team that they have, paired with the great selection that they have at the Jewelry Center, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. If you don't have an idea of what your special someone is going to want in an engagement ring, go to our Pinterest board. See if there's anything there. Bring those ideas into the Jewelry Center. That helpful team, the Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together, always going to point you in the right direction, whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds. Look, the Jewelry Center, they're going to have it. 3 locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop online, shoptjsteed.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chu sent you.
Weak. Ooh.
Chewie's booing you because you didn't sing the Jewelry Center.
He's the only one on the show that hasn't sang. Now, Joshy, albeit very short.
Earlier this song, earlier today.
Good point. He did sing Wiggle, 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 Wiggle. Is that a song? What is that song?
Wobble, Wobble.
Yeah, it's Wobble.
No,
yeah.
I know Wobble, but isn't there a Wiggle? Oh, someone said on the talking text line, gotta wiggle it just a little bit. That is a song. Chewie, I know you remember that one.
From the club back in the day. Yeah.
Let me see you. Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewie Twitter poll this morning. What percentage of the time is 5 minutes actually 5 minutes when someone says 5 more minutes or I'll be there in 5 minutes? 0 to 25%, 26 to 50%, 51 to 75%, or more. So 51% or more. 70% of people are saying it's almost never that they'll be there in 5 minutes, maybe 25% of the time. I can tell you with certainty I've never been. When I say I'm 5 minutes away, that definitely means at least 8. You know, you round down. If the GPS says 8 minutes, you say 5, I'm 5 out. 5 away.
Yeah, but how long were you already late to drop? I'll be there in 5 minutes. Because you're not saying it right at the time, right?
Yeah, like, oh, hey, I'll be there at noon. You're not saying
so
at
you're already late by probably 10 minutes, right?
Well, is this me we're talking about? Yes, of course.
I think Chewie was talking about the royal we, but, you know.
Generally speaking.
I mean, if we want to go gen specific.
Our second Infinity Exteriors poll this morning. What would you do if your now deceased spouse had $100,000 on the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference? Let it ride or void the bets and get your money back. This is split 50-50 on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. 50% saying let it ride, 50% saying void, get that money back. And we weren't even split on this one. Was I the only one riding it? Joshy, were you with me on the ride?
I want my money back.
100K is 100K.
Money back.
I'm not interested in gambling.
I want my money back. Now, that is a song. Are you familiar with that one, Gabe?
No.
No.
Maybe I sang it wrong again.
Always a possibility.
Wildy and Josh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.